Yo, yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back for another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast with yours truly, B Things, with the homie Bengals Drake, here for an efficient episode tonight. Got a couple updates post-weekend. Seems like Dookie boy had a fucking weekend off, didn't do shit. The NFL didn't do nothing, so we're all recalibrating towards the week. Bro, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It was kind of a crazy week, right? Started off like really good, right? I liked the Geno Stone signing. I liked, you know, all the little signings that we made early in the week. And then it kind of got to the phase where it's like you still don't have a right tackle, you know, and we're still in the situation, right? We still don't have a right tackle. You still don't have the nose tackle. And, you know, you're left in those two situations. You had Tart come to town. You had some guys come to town, but you know, I think we'll figure it out. We'll talk about it in this episode. But as to what you were asking, bro, I've been doing good, man. Just been hanging in here, letting this free agency. It's been a good free agency, bro. Besides DJ leaving, which I know was so sad to the fan base, but at the same time, bro, I think it's been a really good off season.
Yeah. And you know, obviously,
I mean, think back to last year, bro. Nick Scott and Irv Smith.
Yeah. Well, Irv came. He may have been. When was he, bro? He may have been a while, like 3 weeks in or something. I feel like maybe two. I'd have to see exactly. But that was a while. Who was our first signing? Nick Scott was second. Oh, Orlando. Duh. I mean, Orlando. So, yeah, big signing. Yeah, last year was a lot different. You know, obviously, the landscape of the team, there was a lot more optimism, you know, with what the team actually was. I guess in the moment, losing both safeties was tumultuous. Nonetheless, yeah, dude, I mean, decompressing from the first week, like you said, lots of action.
You can't hear him. You can't, like, hear him singing in the background, right?
Nah, I can't. What's he going crazy?
I mean, he's singing his shit. I just wanted to make sure you couldn't hear him.
Hey, guys, here right now is Drake's got his homie over. They're recording an album. They're dropping their debut, The Gay Boys, in a month. I'm kidding.
I guess he's... Oh, no. We might have to actually restart the intro. My bad, bro. I totally forgot that we were, like...
What, dude? You were fucking tripping? You forgot?
I guess so, bro. I guess so. Unless we want to keep this. Everybody listening, maybe just keep this. Who knows?
We're keeping this shit. You know what? This shit's on the fly. Look, that's why, you know, we're gonna make this episode efficient so Drake can get back to, you know, making the debut album with the Gay Boys. that shit's gonna be fire. Can't wait to hear it.
The Happy Boys, yeah. Bro. You gotta see a lot of people listen to what you're saying, bro, and they'll take it literal. If anyone looks up what, you know, in the dictionary, it translates to Happy Boys. Okay, so we're the Happy Boys, man.
You know what's funny? That aunts is gay as fuck. Like, you can't beat around the bush, bro. That shit's just gay. I'm kidding. Nah, dude, it's dope for sure. I couldn't hear nothing, so, you know, if anybody else could. Shit, man. I mean, if it gets loud, like, let's go ahead and just hop in there. Like, you know, maybe hop on the beat or something, whatever. Nah, I'm kidding. Nonetheless, look, man, we'll get back to the gist here. Like, you know, decompressing from the DJ departure, right, is a hit that's kind of fumigated everybody's vision on what this offseason has been, free agency has been so far.
Yeah.
But, dude, like, DJ was not a sure thing to be retained, mm-hmm. Right? It wasn't. And maybe, you know what's kind of ironic is, like, in the moment, just indulging on the player, we all wanted it back.
Yeah.
But, bro, if especially everyone listening, right? And me and you, bro, we talked about it. When we went through the mock free agencies, there were some times we didn't have DJ Reader on it.
Yeah.
Like, so that's just the reality of what it was. A guy that with the injuries, I remember the day it happened, I said, this fucks up everything.
And clapped.
So,
bro, you know, it's crazy. The I was at the game, bro. I was behind the field goal post. The guy that's recording music right now, it was his first game, bro. And as soon as I saw DJ go down, and I like almost closed my eyes, bro, because I saw a big 90 go down, and I'm like, please, bro.
I'm like, please don't be DJ. And I saw it was DJ Bro, and I looked at my cousin, I looked at my friend, I was like, you know, you want to know exactly what I said, bro? I said, he's not getting re-signed, bro. That's exactly what I said, bro. And it is the harsh reality of things, because we know how the Bengals operate. But you look at the numbers, bro, you look at the contract numbers, and you compare it to Sheldon, and you know, it kind of looked like Bengals and Lions, you know, were might have been scared at the medicals and what could potentially come. I have nothing but full confidence that DJ will come back and play at a great level. But yeah, you know, the Bengals, like you said, bro, coming into this offseason, say DJ didn't have the injury, he was looking at 17 to 20 a year. And were the Bengals going to pay that? We talked about that for a long time. It was like, that's going to be a big price range for the Bengals to try to go after. And I think today, Sheldon Rankins said in his press conference, he was like, you know, I don't get a lot of credit in the run game, you know, on what I do in the run game. But he's like, you know, I'm pretty good, basically. You know, he said, I'm pretty good in the run game. Like, I don't get much talk on it, you know, or much praise, but I am. And, you know, maybe that falls into helping. And I just think with the secondary, bro, the interchangeable safeties and stuff, I've been thinking about it a lot lately, right? Because you think in the moment on losing a guy like DJ, and it's like, I look at the secondary, bro, and it's like, we don't have to necessarily be the most run-stopping dominant defense in the league. We don't have to. As long as our secondary is shutting shit down across the top, everything else will take care of itself, in my opinion. Now you got Sheldon, who is going to give you more juice up the middle. You're going to be able to actually get after the quarterback more now. And I saw somebody comment on my Twitter. They were like, you guys only have one pass rusher or something. I'm like, no, like that. Now with Trey and Sheldon and Miles coming into year two, I think the addition of Sheldon, it's going to command more respect. You know what I'm saying? Like he said today, the first thing he said to Zach was, why didn't you slide to me? You know, you kept 1v1 in me, and I kept destroying your offensive line. You know, that's the first thing he said, and he joked about it, but you know he was serious about it. And I think that has an effect on this Bengals defense. Is he's going to demand respect out of these teams. And now you still have a guy coming off a 17.5 sack season last year in Trey Hendrickson, and we have so much hope for the ascent, I don't even know how to say it, the ascent of Miles Murphy. And I think that can really help your defense, bro. But I think this secondary, really, with what they did with Geno Stone and Vaughn, I think we needed that secondary last year, right? You know what's crazy is our run defense was, we know this, B-Thanks, our defense and run defense was terrible this year, even with DJ in there, because the secondary just wasn't as good. And I think that has an effect on the defense as a whole.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, bro. I mean, there are layers to it, yeah. And it from, you know, the trenches all the way back to the secondary and the secondary to the trenches. It's a ripple effect all throughout the 11 guys. And I broke it down like this. If you broke down the three biggest needs for that defense, one was support and continuity established on the back end, right, to stop those explosives.
Right. And
the second one was pass rush. But third one was close, was run stop. Like, run stop wasn't a far away third, in my opinion. I'd say it was a pretty close third. But if there were two more important things than run stopping, it was getting to the fucking quarterback outside of number 91. Like, it was in dire need, bro. BJ Hill, who had a good year, by the way, was still not enough, you know, and it created a ton of insufficiencies. So the Bengals had to make the sacrifice to go with the two most important options, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what if sitting here today be like, yeah, this is dope. Like, we got DJ back. That's great. Not saying it wouldn't be, but that's a dude that had three tears in his lower body at 335 pounds in 3 years with us on a third contract with the same D line.
Yeah, bro. Exactly.
And pass rush that was insufficient. right? So it's like you look at it now, it makes sense the Bengals went the route they did. And that's not to say that Sheldon's perfect, right? Fits their perfect profile. Second contract, 25, 26 years old, on the ascension. He's got a ton of tread left on top. Like, he's got some wear and tear. He's entering year 8, I think, 30 years old, but a 2-year deal, which 29, I like said.
29 to be technical, but yeah, you're right.
You're right. Yeah, 29 and I think 30. Some maybe August, nonetheless. Yeah. Like you said, bro, he is a competent run stopper. He went to the Jets. He talked about it in the interview. I went to the Jets to be a predominantly run-stopping DT. And with the Texans, by the way, was not talked about. They were a top-5 run defense last year. The 2 years before that, without Sheldon Rankins and other additions as well, they were the worst in football, like with the Browns. So they flipped that shit with Sheldon being a key part of that run stop. Yeah. So he is absolutely a competent run stopper. Bro, how explosive he was in a lot of the film I saw. Shout out, you know, Zim, Mike, Bengals Sands, all the awesome people, you know, that cut up a lot of clips. 2 minutes worth of clips. Like, really saw. I mean, fuck, you could find everything you want with Sheldon's potential against fucking Alex Kappa. I hate and that's a good guard, by the way, right? Like, that's the crazy part. Like, Alex ain't no scrub. He's not. Sheldon worked his ass. Pause. You know, so, yeah, dude, I mean, I'm super excited, you know, to kind of wrap up the point with DJ. As much as it hurts to see him go and to not negate or discount his impact, right? Like, we talked about it, bro. DJ was unequivocally the best nose tackle in football in 22, top 5-1 last year. But if you had to go one way or the other, bro, it's a passing league. And I know. Justin Fields was added to the division. We got to go against 3 running quarterbacks 6 times a year. Not saying it's important, but if you got to get the quarterback down versus try to contain the quarterback, you got to get the quarterback down. And that's through pass rush. So,
and you know what's crazy? It's like, I think with this secondary, bro, is like you look at the quarterbacks, right? And people would think like, oh my God, the legs and the running abilities. If these dudes can't pass on this defense, the running is not going to matter at all. I think that's a big thing too. Is like, I look at the secondary and from where we were a year ago after losing Jesse and Vaughn, I am way, way more comfortable because last year it was just like, okay, we have confidence in Jordan. Well, we didn't even have Jordan at this time last year. We had Nick Scott and fucking in Dax. So it's like, I wasn't even that confident last year. And now you get to this point where you have four, basically. I mean, you're going to move Dax around. We all know that. But if you want to be technical, you have 4 starting safeties. And you, like, I was thinking about the idea, bro. You could drop it, depending on what Lou wants to do creative-wise, you could have Vaughn in the box. You could have fucking Jordan back. Like, they can do so much shit with their defense. I think it's going to be really interesting. I think Lou's going to have a lot of fun. Losing DJ is tough. But as you said, bro, you have the tears, bro. And it's like, how much production are you going to get out of DJ Reader going forward? Like I said, I have full confidence that he's going to come back. He's going to be an absolute dog. But at the same time, it's like where we are, bro, what the Bengals have been trying to do for years on end is get younger. I mean, you say for Cheeto, say for Eli, like, those guys, there was always something in motion, in plan. It's almost like the Bengals have seen this bigger picture for years now because, you know, they see more than us. So I'm sure they have to plan out for this type of shit, right? And obviously it was like, okay, why'd you wait this long to find your solution for DJ? I look at the secondary, I look at the defense, and like I said, it makes me a lot more confident because, like I said, if it's a no-fly zone, you're not doing nothing. It doesn't matter if you want to run. It doesn't matter if you have Derrick Henry, Justin Fields, Lamar Jackson. You can run the ball 50 times, but if you can't pass it, it's not going to matter.
Exactly, bro, because you can feel confident to put another defender in the box.
Right.
Stop the run, right? And you can feel more confident with that. I mean, how much better? CTB was already incredible last year, right? But, like, how much better is Drago? You know, young Drago in year 2. You know, on the outside, knowing that he can truly trust the dude that's over his head.
Thank you.
That's a big thing that when I'm talking about the secondary is you look at that, bro. That's what I was trying to explain. I think you might have liked it. I kind of did something similar to you, bro. I was just like one night I just needed to get my feelings out, bro. I just made like a long list of all these like key points that could, you know, make Bengals fans feel better. And I think the corners, that's a big thing, bro. Coming into year two and now CTB coming into year three, bro. Ain't that crazy? CTB's in year three now. So you got CTB in year three, bro. And you got these safeties across the top, bro. Listen, I know Geno Stone is not like a Jesse Bates, but who is to say he can't be? Like, seriously, like, this is a dude that led the league in interceptions at his position last year. No matter what people want to say, product of a defense, they said the same shit about Trey Hendrickson. Oh, he's got Cam Jordan next to him. I don't want to hear it, bro. If you have 7 interceptions, that's fucking impressive, bro. You have a knack to get to the ball. You have a knack to be at the right place in the right time. And that's everything you need in a ball hawking safety that they've been missing since Jesse Bates.
Hey, exactly, bro. And also, to favor, it was just such a great fit with Geno Stone. Was, you know, people could say, oh, you know, it was just a product of Mike McDonald's, you know, system.
Right.
Perfect. Mike McDonald has an intricate system. Oh, yeah, of course he does. That's how Geno, you know, you don't think Lunarumo has an intricate system?
Exactly.
Like, guys, they're the same demons in the league. Like, I mean, we're talking Mike McDonald, Lunarumo, and Steve Spagnuolo, in my opinion, were like unequivocally the top three. Yeah, I mean, you got to add Bill Belichick in there, I guess. Top four, you know, defensive play callers in the league. So the systems, the intricacies, the ability to handle this information. And another thing I was preaching on, you know, in the space this morning was, I hope this is right, by the way. I'm pretty sure Marcus Williams signed a 5-year, $84 million deal. That sounds kind of like a lot.
70. It was 5 years, 70.
5 years, 70 mil. That's still a fuckload of money for a dude that could not come back and take his starting spot. The dude got paid almost $100 million and got his job stolen from Geno Stone.
Yeah.
That's insane, bro. Like, that would be like us signing Trey to a 5-year, $70 million deal and like Osai just demanding that spot because, even though it's kind of different, you know what I'm saying? Because he was balling out. So, like, that's a big deal, bro, in an intricate defense like that. So, yeah, man. I mean, To kind of make a macro, because I don't want to dive too much just on safeties again. Yeah, bro, it's exactly what this defense needs. It's what Lou needed, you know. So now that he has this, you know what? Here's a big thing as well, and we can kind of wrap up the nose tackle topic here real quick, bro. I think the Bengals are showing us that they're trying to evolve. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they just don't. Maybe they're not looking to have a 335-pound pure nose anymore.
Bro, I've been saying the same thing, bro. Like, the offense, you have to evolve. The defense, you have to evolve. Because you can't be the same team. You can't be predictable because teams come to find out. And teams, you know, revolutionize their defense to be able to stop your guys. And I think, yeah, that defense, bro, it's definitely more about getting after the quarterback. And imagine, you're getting after the quarterback more with a good secondary.
That's exactly right, bro. Also, with guys with pass rushers, techs, that can also work, like, and be solid run stoppers.
Right.
So, you know, what I was talking to Game about was, I think what the Bengals could look to do is to add a one tech. So, simply, a tech is on the inside shoulder, outside shoulder of each lineman. And is on the inside. So that's why if you ever hear 2-eye, 4-eye type guys on where they line up against an offensive lineman. So a 3-tech lines up on the outside shoulder of a guard. If you have a 1-tech lines up on the outside shoulder of a center, that's still in the middle of a defense. But they kind of want to operate in the form of a pass rusher, a penetrator. Not that a run stopper isn't, but you know, the kind of more gap discipline. They want to clog up and take two guys. Pause. I think that's probably the evolution they're looking to have. So,
and I mean, who's to say that DJ, like, yes, he demanded the respect in the run game and everything like that, but who's to say, like, it's only DJ Reader. Like, yes, he has a big impact in the run stopping game, but you got, like I said, Von Bell back now. But you got all these linebackers, guys that still have to crash towards the ball and make these plays. It's not all about solely on just that nose tackle position to get the job done. Other guys have to make plays too.
It's exactly right, bro. And you know, it could take time, you know, with the linebackers instinctually to get adjusted. And I'm sure they're going to see a ton of it, right? You know, with some full speed action and on 11s in practice. I mean, 11 on 11s is really important in practice. A lot of people kind of overlook it because they don't think it's like wrapping up and tackling. Wrapping up and tackling, bro, is so instinctual for these guys. Like, it's just a matter of discipline.
Right.
So, like, it doesn't really matter. The speed is what matters. So, I get a gist of what Sheldon loves to do as you're looking, because you're looking on what decision to make as a linebacker. Which gap am I firing through? Am I firing through the A gap, the B gap? Because how many times do we see Jermaine or Logan make an incredible play because they're like, all right, I got it, I'm firing right now.
Yep.
Boom, hit my gap and I'm getting a fucking TFL. I'm making a play, blah, blah, blah. It may take a bit of time because DJ, I mean, he just made the decision so easy for these backers. You know, until last year, it just became so crippling when you had number 95 or 68 or any guy not number 98 in the middle of that defense. Fucking horror movie, you know, on making a decision on where to fire. Because if you miss the gap, you're clogged up and you're done. Then you got the running back, you know, hitting an open lane. And instead of going for 2 yards, they're going for 7 or 9. It may take a bit of time with that, but bro, on the back end, it's going to be so much better. So yeah, man, I'm excited. So let's kind of add this really quick. I want to go ahead and move to the Trent Brown thing again. Tier Tart visit, from what, like, it sounds like it's just not a fit, bro. Like, did you really see that coming?
I heard, you know, something about Paul Diener saying it. I didn't really listen to his podcast or anything like that. Did you?
I did.
Okay, so you have more insight on that.
Yeah. That was the main thing he was hitting on, was character fit. So he didn't go in depth with it. Obviously, I wouldn't assume he would. But presumptively, maybe there was more weight to that departure with Tennessee.
Yeah.
I didn't completely look it off, but largely for the most part, I definitely assumed, you know, it just got stale. There's a disconnect. There's kind of a few bodies in that room. Maybe he just wasn't appreciated, whatever. There was a disconnect growing around with the FO, Mike Vrabel. It was kind of a shit show, right? So I was like, you know, maybe toss it up in the air, whatever. Shit goes south sometimes. There's also a reason why the Texans didn't even look to resign him after they put in a waiver claim for him. That kind of should raise more red flags than what I, you know, thought about. It's kind of showing his face now. So I don't know if he's what they're looking for. So now at this point, bro, I mean, I could see him probably bringing a Josh Tupou back just for security purposes, you know, of like, fucking got to have somebody on the roster. But you're probably going to be trading, bro. If you want what you want somewhere else, it's not going to be in what's available in free agency right now.
Yeah, bro. I think you're going to have to do something similar to the Billy Price thing. I don't know. Maybe you could offload Jackson and try to get you a nose tackle, you know?
Hey, you know what? I mean, look, athletic build. I mean,
change of scenery.
You're four, right? I mean, fuck, dude. You're four contract year. Oh, I feel like that could be real this offseason. I feel like that'd be a what the fuck moment. Like, what the fuck?
Think they traded for Jackson Carmen?
Yeah, bro. Like Jackson Carmen for like
Derek Brown.
Wow, that'd definitely be a dream. So that's kind of the landscape with the nose tackle. Let's go ahead and talk about Trent Brown, bro. Like, I don't know if we talked about him much. I know we kind of talked about it at the beginning. You felt like you were kind of manifesting this, right? you know, big move, big decision, yeah, right? By the Bengals to even bring him in for a visit. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, man. We talk about Tart, right? We talk about character, you know, stuff like that, not really a fit. That's what they've been saying about this guy. You know, Trent Brown, he's had locker room issues. I know, not, you know, kind of some off-field stuff. In my opinion, bro, I think just the situations, and I'm talking solely on, you know, on the field, you know, say whether you want to talk about locker room or whatever. You know, he's been blocking for below 500 quarterbacks since Tom Brady left, since he was not blocking for Tom Brady. So look at that and tell me, you know, being a part of toxicness and you're blocking for Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. So it's like, I don't know, bro. In a below 500 Derek Carr, like he went from being a Super Bowl champion and winning, bro, to just shit. And I think you bring him in, bro. What's crazy is we look at the Lyle Collins signing from years ago and you compare it to this. And in my opinion, I think you have way more, you know, confidence in this signing. In my opinion, I think Lyle was like, you can never probably, in my opinion, I mean, hype wise, you probably could get back to that. But I think it was just like we were wanting an offensive lineman for so long, bro. And we finally got like Lyle Collins. But I think this Trent Brown situation, it honestly, I think you text me this, like it gives you an opportunity where you feel comfortable with him being your starting right tackle. And you don't necessarily have to pigeonhole yourself in the first round in drafting a guy if you don't like a guy there. Doesn't mean like they can't draft a Troy Faitanu or a guy like that, because that's my number one guy. Because if you can bring that guy in and let him compete, you know, with Cordell and possibly you see what you can get versatility wise, you know, what see what he looks like at tackle, see what he looks like at guard, you know, versatility. But I look at the Trent Brown thing, and this is something that, yeah, you look at the market now. Mekhi Becton and Trent Brown, you know, for guys that you can at least plug right now and kind of have some type of, at least with Mekhi, it's like, yes, you can come back and you can restart your career, but it's, I don't know, bro. Like Trent's been there. He's proven it. He's a Super Bowl level right tackle. I think you add Trent Brown, bro, similar to how we've been plugging and playing my, you know, tight end. Mike Gesicki is the best tight end we've had in a minute, like seriously, to this offense. And I think it goes to say the same thing with Trent Brown. I think that he would probably be the best right tackle that we've had at that position in a really long time. And I know we said it about Lyle, but it's just different, bro. Like you have two guys that are 6'8". I mean, this dude's 6'8", 370, bro.
And, 6'9",
bro. And did you see the picture of like Aaron Donald, in the Super Bowl against him, bro? Like he made Aaron Donald look small. Like I get it, like size and everything. It's not always the biggest thing, but it's like, bro, I think him blocking on that other side with what he's been going through quarterback situation wise, I think this would be a big. And think about it, bro. He's 30. He's 30, bro. It's not like he's had some major injuries like Lyle. I think, you know, he's had some injuries.
Yeah. But
I don't think it's to the point where, like, he can't go out there and he can play it at a high level, because I think he can. And I think being on a team like this, people want to talk about locker room and stuff. He needs that type of presence around him and, you know, really get him back to where he needs to be, because guys come back and play at a high level at, you know, all times. We saw it with Eli Apple. I know it's a totally different position. We're talking about the trenches and whatnot, but the Bengals have shown to be able to do that, bro. Bring guys back in, and Trent is still playing at a good level. It's not like we're talking about Mekhi Becton, who gave up 12 plus sacks last year. This guy gave, I think, 2 or 3 sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't play a full season. I get that, but I think this is the guy. And tomorrow they got the visit scheduled. I think you have to do everything but let him leave the building. Shout out to Gamewell, man. He told me this a few days ago that the Bengals were one of 4 teams that were, you know, offering, you know, were in on Trent Brown. They finally get him in here and on the visit, and it's what we needed, bro. I mean, you have no right tackle on your roster right now. What are you going to do? Going to the draft with Jackson Carmen at right tackle? Like, no, we're not doing that. I think you have to get the pen to paper tomorrow. What about, I mean, both sides, bro, the Lions, you know, with the Browns, bro. Meet the Browns.
Guys you don't want to meet. I mean, defense want to meet. Like, bro, you heard Max Crosby talking about, you know, Trent Brown. Like, yep. Max Crosby's a fucking freak. Like, him and Trey Hendrickson are really similar to me, you know, when it comes to guys that, like, and Max is definitely more athletic. He's got better bend than Trey, but just demons, bro. They're fucking psychos. Like, they're not the most, like, a Myles Garrett is just so physically gifted. Myles is not a psychopath on the field. He's actually kind of nice, like, exclude the fucking boink in the head of Mason Rudolph. Like, he's a nice guy. Like, in a way, almost seems a little gentle. Like, Trey's a psycho. Max is a psycho. And that dude could not produce against a Trent Brown. Like, he said it took him forever to get a true winning rep against a Trent Brown. And, yeah, bro, I mean, look, don't want to sound hypocritical, you know, or fall into the same trap of kind of, you know, what I just, you know, wrapped up with Tier Tart, like, oh, overshadow the stuff. Like, yeah, the blemishes that have occurred with Trent Brown is real, you know, and I'm not going to overlook it. But the reality is, like you said, bro, fuck, man. It gets fucking frustrating when your quarterbacks are that bad. The whole offensive system was broken, dog. This wasn't, I mean, well, the Jets was pretty horrible. I mean, think this wasn't the Falcons, right? This wasn't a Falcons offense that has weapons everywhere, just kind of miscombobulated with the quarterback constricting their potential. Everything was broken, bro. Staleness from the coach, staleness from the head coach, the fucking handicap, fucking place. Matt Patricia, fucking retard, called place, dude. It was horrible. Trent Brown, I'd be pissed too. You know, if it's like we're the only guys that are playing any quality football. Ramondre Stevenson wasn't even playing well. So, yeah, I could see why shit would get frustrating, you know, for Trent Brown. But to sum it up, bro, he's the best player. Get the best player. Like, they both have injury histories. Like, people can't tell me, oh, he's been injured, bro. Mekhi Becton played 40 snaps in two seasons. People, and he's 25.
He played, really? Is that 40?
That's real, bro. 21, none. Zero snaps. 22 played 48 snaps towards meniscus week two or something like that. Maybe week one. So, and came back last year, played a full season. So, him. But Trent Brown, he played a full season in 2022. He's played 9 years in the league. He's only had three full seasons, 16-17-game seasons. So, it's imperfect. Guess what? That's what the fucking market is. You got to pick from what's the best here, right? And that's a Mekhi, or that's a Trent Brown, a dude that can comfortably pass block. He would eat up dudes like fucking TJ Watt. I mean, would he stuff him a whole game? Like, zero pressure, none of that. I'm not saying that. But he's a dude that can handle that. And overall, like I said, like you know, mentioned before, your breakdown, what I responded with it was, it would be much more relieving than a Mekhi Becton because, bro, I saw your comment earlier. Like, a Bengals fan brought it up again. Like, the fans are going to hate when a corner's there. If a guy like Quinyon Mitchell's there, I know I'm not ready for it. I'll be transparent with you when it comes to need, and I need these dudes to get on the field. Like, but when you're talking about that talent that you typically wouldn't take, and maybe Amarius Mims is... Nah, you're probably taking the Marius Mims. Like, I don't know. Like, you're not pigeonholed. That's my point. I'll wrap it up. Like, Trent Brown's just a bro. So that's all I'll say.
Yeah. I think tomorrow you have to do everything in your power to get him signed. Wear that number 77 proud. I think we need somebody to wear that 77 proud, bro. I know some people are talking about, oh, what about left tackle, right tackle, blah, blah. Orlando Stan at left tackle, guys. Okay. I don't think that they would want to fuck anything that they got up right now. Or, you know,
played 3,000 snaps at right tackle. Like, I don't even know, like, what people would like. He's played literally even, bro. He played 3,090 snaps in his career at left tackle, 2,900 at right. So he's a perfect type of player, bro. Like, and like, say say if the Bengals have, you know what? Say they do see Brock Bowers there at 12 and they're getting Anthony there. Oh my God, this could become real. All right, we're sending our number 80 pick. We're going in. We're getting Brock Bowers. You get Brock Bowers in the first, and then second round, take, I don't know, DT. And then third, 97, you're like, you know what? I'm getting Jalen Wright. Fourth round, maybe Rosengarten from Washington, a guy that needs development, is there. A dude from Yale is there. But, like, you know what? All right. Like, we're good, though. We're good this year. Like, yeah, like, we're going to draft a guy. But we just ended up being able to get a Brock Bowers because we made a decision to get a dude that we at least know, if he's on the field, he's good.
Yeah.
We're not no fucking Jackson Carmen. We're not going with just a rookie. Because if we just had Amarius Mims and Jackson Carmen, there's still questions there. Like, what is a rookie Amarius Mims? You know what you're getting with Trent, bro. You've seen it for 9 years in his high-quality pass protection and a good run blocker, too. So he's just a good tackle.
Bro, as I said when I first was kind of wanting Trent Brown, I was like, you know what, bro? You look at him, bro. He just, I mean, off the field, you look at his Instagram and stuff, looks like a nice guy. On the field, bro, he does not look nice. He looks like a mean dude when you know, the ball is snapped and start getting active. Like, he just doesn't look like a nice dude. I think that's what we need for this offensive line. Like, I love Ted, love Alex, love Orlando. I love all these guys. But in a way, we need that, like, fuck you mentality. I think Orlando brings that. I think these guys bring that. But, like, bro, Trent's that type. What?
Probably a bit. I want some bitches on the line, bro. Like, don't talk to these guys.
Yeah,
these
bro.
They're not your friend. They're not dapping you up that, hey, man, that was good pressure. Nah, I want to fuck you up. Like, I'm a fucking
and take I, your- and I, that's exactly who Trent Brown is. I think that's what makes me like Trent Brown so much is he's like that, bro, fuck you. I'm protecting my quarterback. Like, I feel like Lyle was kind of like preaching that to the choir. But I think like Trent's actually that dude, bro. And we talk about like you've never really been in the opportunity to get Trent Brown or it's never really been the right time to go after him. Because you, I mean, any other time, bro, you would have loved Trent Brown blocking for Joe Burrow. Like, sign me the fuck up. Trent Brown blocking for Joe Burrow? What? Hell yeah. Now yeah. I know, like, 30 years old, I get it. But bro, he's going to give you, like, he's going to help, bro. He's going to give you that protection on that right side, what we've been wanting. And then you're still going to be able to draft a guy. And comfortably, bro, I would like to still draft an offensive lineman in the first round. You know, I wouldn't like to wait till round four, but as you say, you're not pigeonholed.
Exactly. That's all the Bengals want. Like, I think that's exactly where, fortunately, I mean, of course, I'm on the outside looking in. Like, what the fuck do we really know, you know, with how the inside operating? But from the outside, it really feels like all of us fans are on the same page of, like, get competence heading into the draft at run stopper and pass protector. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. We all love the idea of the first round offensive tackle. I love it. Bro, I mean, outside of Brock Bowers, or like if the Bengals did make the splash at Byron Murphy, if the board fell a certain way, there's nothing more that I'd want than like, because I feel like Amarius Mims is going to be there, or Fuwada, with the Trent Brown. That's perfect. You know what? Double for me. Let's go ahead and get Christian Hayes in the second round. Let's fucking put an exclamation point on this insufficiency that's literally ruined our seasons from getting Lombardis. Plural. Plural. Let's stomp that shit out. I'm all for it. So, yeah, bro, it just makes you feel a lot better heading in. Let's kind of wrap this up here. I mean, look, man, like this comes back to what needs to be shown some light on for the Bengals could have sat on their hands, right? Like, oh, you know what? It's kind of wait around for Mekhi, see what he's doing. Right. They didn't. You know what? We're bringing Trent in now. They experimented with Tier Chart. Got to give him credit for that. Realize how many teams just sit on their hands? A lot of them. Like, and I know not all 31 teams, you know, are breaking their backs to try to, you know, sign Trent Brown for 2 years, $14 million. Or these guys, but the Bengals are there. They could have. you know, another applause for Duke and them for taking action. Now here's, you know, where they're going to get the standing ovation. Get ink, pen to, you know, pen to paper. Period. Get that shit done. Make Trent Brown a Bengal. And man, we're going to be feeling a lot better. And really after that, bro, it's just run stopper for me.
Yeah, I think after you lost DJ too, it was like, okay, like let's pivot. We talked about it. Let's pivot. Let's go after Trent Brown. Not like you're giving Trent Brown the same money that you're going to give DJ. But like you said, I'd love a 2-year deal, bro. Trent Brown, 2-year deal. Like I feel like a 1-year deal, it's like, fuck. Like we have a lot of guys on 1-year deals. And it's like we get them for 2. It gives me some security. They did it with Lyle. Wouldn't surprise me. Just get it done and at least have security, or you feel security about the next 2 years. Even if, say, something didn't work out with the rookie you drafted because somehow we can't draft offensive linemen. I told a Chiefs fan, bro. I was like, listen, bro. How about we do a trade? You can have my wide receiver scout for a year, and we get your offensive line scout for a year. How's that sound?
And like you guys draft 3 players at that position. Yeah. And I mean, it may have to be 2 years because you got to develop them or something.
Right.
I don't know. I guess the scout's different. Right. But fucking with you, bro. Like, damn.
No, but yeah, bro. Trent Brown, you got to get it done. Right. Who else are you going to sign? You gonna come back to my guy back then. And if I'm being honest, bro, I'm fully confident that they get this tomorrow.
Because like you said, bro, who you going? Like, Yash, there were 3 guys, right, that could have been decent swing guys. Like, in a realm of Trent Brown's the best. Maybe Yash Nieman was second. Or, no, nah, Makai was probably second. Then Yash Nieman was third. Yash Nieman, you know what's funny? He was signed at, like, 5. The Bengals announced that they're bringing in Trent Brown for a visit at, like, 5:15. They knew. You know, because – you already brought in Mekhi Becton for a visit. There's nobody left. None. It's like Irv Smith. You look in the room and you're Will Smith. Everybody.
Hey. Von Bell, you're playing right tackle, buddy.
Tackle. Congratulations. Dax, you're a nose tackle.
Dude, I told, you know, my source, you know, that it's like pretty much best friends with Von. I was like, hey, man. I was like, Von might have to play nose tackle, jokingly. He was like, he can. I was like, bro.
Of course, that's the most agent thing ever. Like, oh, my. Anything, dude. He's incredible, man. Like, have you ever. Hold on. Like, come on, bro. Like, that's not on the tangent. I don't want to open it up with Sheldon Rankin at all. But, like, of course, Sheldon was going to hype him up as a great run defender. As a great, right? He ain't going to come to a new team and try to hype him up for getting paid $13 million. Say, you know what? I'm ass at run stop, though. Like, can't trust him. Of course he's going to hype himself up. Like, I'm sure Larry O said, yeah, I'm a dog in run defense. Like, bro, you are ass. You know? So, like, I get it. I get all sides, but
what was your thoughts, bro, when he was like, look, man, he was like, excuse my language. You guys will probably, you know, learn about me pretty quick. He was like, I told Zach, why the fuck didn't you slide me?
He's fun.
He's funny, bro. He's perfect for the locker room, bro. He just seems like it's almost like that DJ Reader personality. You know what I'm saying? Like you kind of replace that in a way with Sheldon. I mean, DJ was just such a great guy, bro. But I think with Sheldon, you get that veteran presence, that leadership. He's been there, bro. He's killed us every time he's played us in New York, in Houston. Like, this guy that's just fucking. Like every time that he has played us, and that's the type of guy where it's like you look at schedule, say you look at what you got in the interior offensive line, like that's the type of guy I want going after. Like it would not surprise me, similar to Larry Ogunjobi, you know, Rankin's having a career year this year. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I would not be surprised at all either, man. So you know, love where the Bengals are going. Yeah, just drop this episode for you guys. There's no major breaking news today. We'll probably be back tomorrow night, as we both assume. You know, and a lot of us fans, I think we should assume a Trent Brown deal will get done. Of course, TBD. Kind of talk about what the offense would look like. Kind of broke down a lot of the shit tonight with it. Nonetheless, keep trekking through the offseason one day at a time. Before we know it, bro, and Bengals fans, we're what? Like six, fuck, 5 weeks out from the draft. So, man, gotta love the NFL offseason.
Yeah.
And other things here. So, yeah, taking it one day at a time, man. And you got any closing thoughts before we head out?
Sign Trent Brown. Figure out your nose tackle. I mean, whether you got to trade for a guy or whatever you do, you know, they'll figure it out, bro. People forget we still have BJ on this roster. You're not
got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase on this roster.
Exactly. Like, you have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and it's a passing league, as you said. So it's like you have to be able to go toe to toe, and you have that guy, bro. And no matter what, as long as that guy is healthy, he doesn't necessarily have to have a top five defense to keep this team and get to the Super Bowl.
But it wouldn't hurt.
Wouldn't hurt. Exactly. It wouldn't hurt. And I, you know, Shelton and bro, think about it. Shelton Raekwon's pass rushing abilities, like added to this defense, is only like Trey sack numbers should go up. It should, like, no doubt about it. 17 and a half should go up next year if we're being like no regression, just same Trey.
Wild. Only really, you calling that now?
If, like I said, if it is the same Trey, no regression, just same Trey, right? Like this year, bro. Yes, he would go over 17 and a half sacks with Shelton Raekwon as interior, because it's just like, bro, he's demanding more respect. It's not like you're sinning every, because think about it, Trey Hendrickson was pretty much. Last year, you had Sam Hubbard, the insufficiencies. I know he was playing through an injury, but you had the insufficiencies there, and pretty much your only pass rusher was Trey Hendrickson. Unless you had BJ Hill in the middle catching some crazy-ass fucking interceptions, Trey was your only pass rusher last year. And I'm kind of surprised he got 17 and a half sacks when you think about it, because he was the only guy really getting after the quarterback-wise that teams had to worry about. And he still did. Think about it. With Shelton now. If Shelton can get 7 sacks, bro, Trey can definitely get 20, bro. Yep, I'm not saying he's going to get 20, but I'm saying based on last season, if it's the same way, same production out of Trey, he's definitely going over 17 and a half.
Hey, man. Looking forward to it. So, yep, that'll do this. That'll do it for this episode of the All Things Bengals podcast. Like I said, we'll be back tomorrow with the Trent Brown signing. So, appreciate you all for listening to another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast. Peace out, bro.
Peace.